This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I mean, I kind of want to start with Sal on the series. I mean, it's been 15 years. We're long past the days of the Yankees. We're like, oh, the Yankees again. Right, Sal? I mean, it's 15 years since they were in the World Series. Tonight's a big night.
Not about it. Yeah, I'm excited. And it's obviously two, you know, storied franchises. What a great rivalry. There's a great 30 for 30 called the Uncivil War between the Yankees and Dodgers going back to the 50s when they played in the World Series a whole bunch of times. And, you know, they're just kind of divided, you know, family members. You know, you were either a Brooklyn Dodgers fan or a Yankees fan, and then Dodgers moved to L.A., as we know. And it just grew from there, even, because of the personalities with Reggie and Billy Martin on one side specifically, and Tony...
Tommy Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda, thank you. Tommy Lasorda and Steve Garvey and some of the guys that the Dodgers had. And it's been a long time since they played against each other. The Dodgers have been there, but it's been a while for the Yankees.
I think I would say my first baseball memory. I don't really remember watching the Bucky Dent game in 78. I think I did. I think I went to a friend's house after school, but I was six. But I do remember more, like, I think accurately, in that World Series where Reggie Jackson gets, like, hit in the baseline of a play.
Right.
Like
he sort of stuck his hip out.
Yeah. It led to like a Yankees rally, and Lasorda and Steve Garvey and Lopes and everybody were just like flipping out. I don't remember the three home runs. That's 77.
Yeah.
But that, I think that would have been 78 then, because otherwise I wouldn't remember.
I remember
it
all of it, and it was glorious. And I don't have the animosity I've had for the Yankees anymore, as my Red Sox fandom is sort of quelled here over the years. This is perfect for me. You know, I mean, Dodgers Yankees, it just looks right. I read yesterday these are the only two teams in Major League Baseball that don't have mascots.
Oh, I'm in.
And I'm not anti-mascot. Like, I'm fine with mascots. But if you are an organization that has never had one, the Yankees did have a dalliance with one, I think, at some point in the 70s or early 80s. And the way I read the story I read about it was, like, it came and went, and it disappeared, and there was never really any explanation. It was never really acknowledged.
Oh, you mean Yankee Panky?
Is that what the name of it was?
No, I don't. Let's hope. I don't know.
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a good name for a Yankees
mascot? I think
that's
such a cool representation of what these franchises are. Like, they are a brand that is globally recognized, both of them, just by their logos on the helmets and the hats and the uniforms that have been the same forever and ever, amen, with the red numbers for the Dodgers and the whole thing.
Love the red numbers.
Like, they don't need to have some goofball in a furry suit. You know, like, they've got a brand.
I have heard that Jackson DeVille is expected to crash tonight, but no, not officially. Not official.
Is he going to rappel down? Is that
yes.
what he's going to do?
That's part of the
show. I would even go a step further and say, like, you look at these franchises, and they're just like, they're so kind of in the box, right? Like, City Connect jerseys. The Yankees don't have one. Like, they don't do that. It's
good
like,
for them.
Nope, we're the Yankees. We wear pinstripes. That's what we do. The Dodgers do, but it's very similar looking to their normal jersey. It's not like the Red Sox wearing the yellow and to represent the Boston Marathon finish line, right? It's just they're very kind of similar to their own thing. Those brands mean so much to these organizations. That's why.
The 2024 World Series. No furry nonsense. No yellow. Let's go. Yankees and Dodgers, game one tonight, 8:08. Okay. Now back to business. The Dunn Tire Drive at 5. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. We've talked the last couple of days, but not so specifically on this particular matchup. It's, of course, you know, years between meetings between the Bills and the Seahawks. They haven't seen Geno Smith since he's been there. Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, even as the head coach of the Bills, have not been to Seattle. So we've got a little bit of a different one, you know, unlike talking about the Jets a couple of weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Bills having the ball here. How vulnerable is the Seattle defense? Injuries, Sal, have been a part of that conversation.
They have been. They've gotten healthier, though, and they played a lot healthier last week. But that said, they still were outgained last week in their game against the Atlanta Falcons. What happened to them was, though, the Falcons just turned the ball over. And, you know, the Seahawks, they held them to 14 points. But Atlanta was 8 of 15 on third down, 369 yards of offense, but turnovers, 3 for Atlanta, none for Seattle. Like, they were the better team moving the ball. They just didn't score. But overall, Seattle's defense has given up big plays. They've given up 9 runs of 20 or more yards. Like, the Bills are a team that's given up big plays. We look and we say, yeah, they've given up big runs. Eight of those. The Seahawks actually are worse in that category. They've given up 9 of them. Both these teams are near the bottom in yards per play against on the ground. There's going to be opportunity here. This is a big play defense. They can make big plays. They do get after the quarterback pretty well. They're up near the top in sacks, but you also will have opportunity on them. It's a real kind of swing and miss type of defense. So it's a boom or bust, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Right. And the good news for them, I guess, maybe bad news for the Bills, is that the secondary, which has been banged up, is at least getting Woolen back, it looks like. And that's he's been an excellent player for them since he got there.
Yeah, I really like Tariq Woolen coming out of the draft. I thought he would fit the Bills' profile. He was long, athletic. He had the traits. You know, Bills love to draft for traits, right? He has all those traits, and he really translated. He lasted. He was still on the board quite a while. I have to remember what round he was taking in. But, you know, this is a guy that I think, they'll definitely welcome him back in this game. He's missed 2 weeks with the ankle injury, but it looks like he's on track to play in this one.
How do you like the sort of the matchup side of this, Sal, for the Bills on offense? We've talked about they're being more interested in running. They run a lot on first down. But you've got Amari Cooper now. Last week, it got a little bit scary, and they turned it on offensively, largely through the air. Allen put up, you know, it's been kind of rare this year, the big passing numbers. Do you see more of a continuation of that, or at least they want that, or are we going to look instead more kind of how they've been trying to scheme games?
I'd be surprised if it suddenly becomes like some sort of air attack. I think the Bills feel, again, that, you know, you look at the numbers on that side of the ball, there's probably opportunity to run the ball. And I think the Bills, no matter with Amari Cooper or without Amari Cooper, I think the Bills want to control the game on the ground. That's their formula to victory this year. I think that that's when they've been at their best, when they've been able to do that, you know, control the game on the ground. And I think that they feel probably that they'd be able to do that here at certain times. And then, you know, you can go to the air here and you have Amari Cooper, you feel more comfortable in those situations going and throwing the ball. But, you know, with the emergence of Ray Davis, what he's been able to do, James Cook wasn't able to get off last week. Maybe this is the week where, you know, he bounces back a little bit. So I'd be surprised if they have some sort of, you know, philosophical shift throwing the ball, but I also would say that it probably feels more comfortable to be able to throw it in those situations now that you do have Amari Cooper and what you saw from him last week immediately with the chemistry for with Josh Allen.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if they really lean into Cook. It was kind of sparse. I mean, he played a decent amount, but it wasn't big there. And now, you know, another week removed from the injury, and I'm wondering about him maybe in the passing game with Samuel out.
Yeah, that could be something the Bills look at. I think Dalton Kincaid as well, you know, at tight end. I think, you know, even Dawson Knox with Samuel out, you know, we'll see how the target share goes. We'll see how the snap counts go. I mean, obviously, Amari Cooper last week, 19 snaps, 35% of them. Now, that could have been circumstantial, too, because Samuel was out, right? So maybe he gets a little bit more than they had game planned for. You're down to four receivers. Well, they know going in, now they have four, so what are we looking at? Probably Tyrell Shavers gets elevated. Let's just say that. Maybe it's someone else, but I would anticipate someone at wide receiver gets elevated, but that person's going to probably be their, you know, fifth receiver playing special teams, so that opens up more opportunity for guys around the offense to, you know, get some work in the passing game as well, and that would include, obviously, James Cook. Why, I think, yeah, obviously, he's a weapon. The Bills would like to use him, and, you know, again, I'm not looking at some change in philosophy here from the Bills offense. I think just having Amari Cooper allows them to maybe continue their philosophy in a more emboldened way and feel more comfortable about it, but part of that philosophy is using everybody, including James Cook, out of the backfield.
Are you preparing for rain? If you don't know out there, Sal is going to this game.
Yes.
In Seattle.
Yeah. So I am, and I've had discussions with Seattle media members, and then I had Pat Hammer on the Extra Point show today. And Seattle media members will tell you, it rarely pours there. Like, it's you don't get downpours. And it rains way less than people think. But around this time of year, it's just a pretty much everyday thing. But the way they've defined it is, it's more like a mist than a rain. And it's more, like, it's not even something you notice necessarily. You don't need an umbrella. And then Pat Hammer actually said, yeah, all that is true. And Pat used to live out there. He said, actually, like, looking at the game and the forecast, it will be around the area. He wouldn't be surprised if it's fairly dry for a lot of the game, but it's going to be wet and it's going to be damp and it's going to be cold. It's like one of those kind of the way you envision Seattle a lot of times in the Northwest, right? I mean, I think that's kind of what you're looking at here.
And windy, by the way.
Breezy. Yeah, it's going to be breezy. So that's obviously going to impact the game, and, you know, it could affect the kicking game here. And obviously that's something to watch out for with Tyler Bass. And he had a nice bounce back last week. He made all six of his kicks, two field goals, four extra points. So, and the other thing would be, if it is a little bit wet or damp, you know, the field conditions, right? Yep, turf field. So, you know, just something to always kind of keep in mind.
I'm glad to hear you had Pat on the show again. I got a very nice note from him complimenting Mike and myself and our show, and I'm glad he's feeling better. He's had a bit of a tough go, I think, recently. So good to hear his name and get a shout-out. How about swinging this around the other way, Sal? We were talking a little bit earlier in our show already today about, like, Bernard has become, for me, like, the guy on that defense that I'm most shaky about when I hear he might not play, or, like we heard this morning from John McDermott on your show, that he will not play. He's ruled out. I just feel like they don't have another guy that can do all the things that he does, and that really shakes me a little bit.
Well, it should. I mean, because, you know, you don't really replace Terrell Bernard, right? I mean, like, it's just you have to kind of make it work. And Baylen Specter has a lot of strengths that he can play in this league. He's a north-south kind of linebacker. He's a good tackler. He can hit the hole. He's physical. He's just not the coverage linebacker or the athlete that Terrell Bernard is. And, you know, Terrell is also just so good at understanding everything about, you know, the defense and the game and the concepts. And not saying that, you know, Baylen Specter doesn't do that or put in the work. I just, you know, obviously Terrell Bernard has a lot of traits that really allow you to run your defense around him in a lot of different ways. And as I've said before, I think Dorian Williams is just a better linebacker with Terrell Bernard next to him than he is with Baylen Specter or anybody else. It allows him to kind of be a little bit more of what he needs to be and not have to maybe do a few of the extra things as well to, you know, get involved in the coverage area if, you know, you have Baylen Specter next to him versus Terrell Bernard. So it's a major loss, there's no doubt. And what I think is going to happen here, and by the way, I know we'll get to it, but DK Metcalf, he's doubtful for the Seattle Seahawks. You know, so let's just say he's not going to play. I mean, he's trending like he's not going to play. And that's obviously a big blow to them. But guys, they have Jaxon Smith-Njigba and right. Tyler Lockett, who are very, very good underneath.
That's exactly what I'm worried about. Yeah, right.
Yep, and you have Kenneth Walker, who's very good out of the backfield. So that's the area where, yes, they're going to target. Now, if there's a solace in this, I would say that it's the fact that, yeah, Geno Smith leads the league in passing yards, which is amazing. But part of the reason is because he gets the ball out to those guys quickly. So you know that, right? You know that coming. They're not going to be necessarily asking. I don't think you're going to see Baylen Spector necessarily having to cover those guys all the way down the field a lot. You know what I mean? Because I think the Seahawks understand they can't let the Bills' defensive line wreck their game plan. So they're not going to have a lot of time to do that. They're probably not going to bake into their game plan a lot of time to do that. It's going to be a lot of what you saw last week, a lot of what the Titans did. It's going to be get the ball in the quarterback's hand, get it out. Play action, roll out, get it out. I mean, they're starting a right tackle, guys, who made his first NFL start last week, and he's a Division II player. This is an offensive line that everybody in Seattle tells me, like, that's been the issue with their team this year. And despite that, Geno Smith is still leading the league in passing yards because he's extending some plays, and he's getting the ball out fast. Well, it's going to be tougher without DK Metcalf, but he does have those guys. So, yeah, you're right, I think, to be worried about it. But I also think that this is a spot where the Bills understand that, and I think that at least you're not going to be asking those guys to cover for a long time.
He's also thrown the most passes in the league, too. So that's they're definitely, you know, that team now, which had not really happened in Seattle for a long time. This is probably not really true, but doesn't it seem like everybody except the Bills, we always talk about like how their offensive line is a mess? Just, you know, they've had this injury and that injury. The Saints, the Bills didn't play the Saints, but like everybody's hurt. The Bills have been, injuries are always a big part of our conversations, and they've had challenges this year, but, and I'm not superstitious, so have at me, but like up front, the Bills have been just really consistent and durable, and that's huge.
And that was the case last year, too, for the most part. Yep, you know, yep. I think if you remember last year, they really didn't have many man games missed at all up front and on the offensive line. And, you know, even when they have had guys out, and now they do have, you know, like Tylon Grable, who's a backup, their backup swing tackle, he's on IR, but they feel really good about Ryan Vandermark, right? Like, if he can go in and he can play, and I think that they feel good about that. They feel good about Alec Anderson, who's their, you know, sixth offensive lineman. But these are guys they've developed. And, you know, Eric Wood talks about this a lot. I think really over the last few years, a very, very big difference in the Buffalo Bills and strength of this team is how they've really done a great job of developing their offensive line. And, guys, I mean, like, in, a lot of that goes to Aaron Kromer, there's no doubt. Eric will tell you, Aaron Kromer may be the best offensive line coach he's ever had. I don't know. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe he said things like that. He said, like, he's so good at really each individual being able to maximize his strength. And it's not going to be one way. It's what it works best for you. But the other part about that is, just looking long term, like, everybody in the Bills offensive line is locked up, you know, long term as well. And I think that's just a really nice thing to have when we talk on a week-to-week basis or going forward.
Do you have, I mean, we've covered some of the details here. Do you have an overall take on how good you think Seattle is? Like, a few things are sort of against each other when it comes to them for me. I have a tough time with this. Like, they're 4-3, a game up in the division. They played Miami at the right time. Their wins are not really that quality. Atlanta's pretty good. They won by 20. But they're also minus 210 to miss the playoffs. Like, I think the market fans see the entire NFC North is better. You know, of course, top teams in other divisions. I don't know, Sal. Like, from here, their next three games are all division games. So that'll be really, like, when we find out what kind of year they might have. But I can't really figure out if they're good.
I'm with you. I mean, I think the Bills are the better team. The Bills are favored. I look at their schedule. They started off, you know, with three straight wins, right, it was?
Yep.
They go 3-0 to start the year. And then they lose three straight games, including to the New York Giants, who scored 29 points. Now, granted, at the end of that game against the Giants had a blocked field goal. Seattle was actually lining up to tie it. There you go. And it was blocked in return. But even against, like, the Denver Broncos, they win 26-20. But, like, if you look at the stats, like, you know, just, like, they didn't really do much. Denver's offense just couldn't get off the mat with Bo Nix starting his first NFL game. Like, I don't know. It just feels like this, again, this is a wild variance team. We compared it today on the Extra Point Show to when we say in hockey, a high event team, right? This is a high event team.
Yeah, it's good.
Right? This is they're either going to have a lot of really big plays for them or really big plays against them. And I think that's what you have to kind of be aware of. You limit like the ones that they can have for them, and I think you're going to have opportunities to have big plays against them.
All right. Halloween, you know, some people are self-conscious about going out in a Halloween costume. Like, you get recognized. Maybe you don't want to do it. Although, your game, you go to a different city, though. I mean, nothing to lose. You could take Halloween to the West Coast here tomorrow.
I guess you could. I mean, the difference is this year, Halloween's not until next Thursday. So it's not like you're right there in it. Sometimes if it's right on that day or the Monday, then everybody's dressing up. So even though it's Halloween week in the NFL, I guess, I don't know how much of that you're going to get. It is a challenging environment. It's a challenging stadium. You know, it's built and designed a lot like they talk about here in Buffalo with the new stadium to kind of encapsulate that noise. They have the 12th man there, obviously. That's what they call it. You know, and obviously Texas A&M does it. We've called that here as well. But it does make a difference. It's a loud stadium. There's no doubt about it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's obviously a really, it's a cool city. It's a destination city for a lot of Bills fans when the schedule came out. People saying they're going there. I saw yesterday people tweeting about how the airport here in Buffalo was packed with Bills fans headed out there. So it's going to be, I think, a cool road trip here. So I'm looking forward to it.
For people wanting to check off stadiums, you know, you don't get that many chances at some of these NFC venues. So this would be your chance to do that. Very good. We'll have a great ride out, and we'll see what happens Sunday.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks a lot.
All right. That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Wester Hotline. And his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
The Dunn Tire Drive at 5, presented by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. If sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break, get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. What are your vibes here on this matchup? Let us know. Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll have picks. Should we do them at 6
today? Yeah, let's try it at 6
see
on
how
a
that
Friday.
Goes over.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not ready yet.
Oh, I've had mine in the hopper since I had my first sip of coffee this morning.
I need the analytics on whether it's better to do them in advance or not.
Yeah. I like to do them and then forget about them entirely. Like right now, I think I could tell you. I know one game I'm picking. We talked about it with
Cleveland.
Yeah, and when I told you my college game, so I guess I know that one too, which is tonight's Boise State UNLV game.
Oh, throw out the record books.
But I don't. I'm
both
not,
Big Ten teams.
Not even sure I remember.
Oh my Aren't God. They? Probably.
I don't know.
No, they're not.
I hope not.
They're not. They will be someday, but they're not.
Yeah, soon. Next year. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so I don't even remember what my picks are. I have them written down, though. So
I don't remember mine either because I haven't done them. 803-0550. What do you think? Bills, Seahawks, Sunday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
In all honesty, and I know this sounds crazy, but for a guy that just showed up a couple weeks ago, I really think Devontae's speech at the end of the game, and I really think him shining a light on the fact that the energy has to be right, you know, and I think we've identified why it wasn't right, and we fixed it, and I felt like this week was just, it was the team that we need to be going forward, and so excited about reinventing ourselves. And
Jeff Ulbrich, the new Jet coach. You know what I would... Maybe he really means all that, right? Maybe you have to allow for the possibility that when these coaches talk, they're actually being sincere. It's possible. I don't think I would say it. I would just not want to give off, as the coach of that team, that franchise, any, yeah, we're actually fine vibes, you know? Yeah, he spoke. We'll see. We got to win. I mean, that's all I would want to say.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like, well, you're not going to believe whatever he did to preface that, but then it's just how important it was and how special it was, and who cares, right? Who cares? Why would anybody care? Go beat some teams. And then we can look back on this apparently important speech, you know, but you got to do it first. You can't claim culture.
Yeah.
Until you win. And then you can say, well, you see, culture.
Yeah. It's got to be very hard to face the media, you know, and be asked questions that, you know, you probably have an inkling certain things are going to come up. But when you have to be so careful as to not make the king mad with anything you say, I think it can be very treacherous. I have sympathy for a guy that's been elevated to head coach of a team that's being run by, you know, a 40-year-old deteriorating lunatic. So tough spot for Ulbrich, I would say. Tough spot to be in.
I don't disagree. I think it's a tough spot. I think it's tough in that way, but also, like, what does anybody expect? It's almost like Stefanski, you know, where just...
Right.
He's got two Coach of the Year awards in his pocket anyway. I mean, everybody thought he was being forced to keep Watson in. And, you know, if we go down, we go down. But he'll get another job right away from his career, from his pedigree.
Stefanski, you think?
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah, probably, because the story will be that he was saddled with Watson, who was shot. So, you know, he probably does get another chance at it, I would guess. Yeah, and frankly, what he did last year with all those other quarterbacks, yeah, he'll land on his feet. This guy, the Jets, I don't expect to ever hear his name again after he's after this. It's going to be the end of it. Thanks for coming.
Maybe
the whole thing is just so.
I wonder how he can change that. Win? I mean, is it that simple?
Yeah, I think
the Raiders guy. Who was the Raiders guy that took them to the playoffs? Rich Bisaccia or something like that. Remember Bisaccia?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're close there.
Wasn't he the head coach of a Raiders team in the playoffs against Cincinnati?
I think that's right, yes.
When they beat the Chargers on the field goal in overtime and then they went to the playoffs, like, oh, that's a pretty good accomplishment. Maybe this is a good comp. That's a pretty good accomplishment, taking the Raiders to the playoffs.
It was so not that long ago.
For Gruden.
And then what? Is it Josh McDaniels was after that, and then he got flushed, and now we're at Antonio Pierce. Do I have the order right, or did I miss three guys?
I think so. No, that's right.
It's the Raiders. I mean, it could have been a lot more guys, but wow.
Carolina is on 5 in 3 years, I think.
Man.
Yeah, Rich Bisaccia. He takes the literal Las Vegas Raiders, the team without the internet, replacing John Gruden, fired in a scandal, to the playoffs. Where's... He's probably like, where's my call? Who does this?
Yeah.
But then he was replaced.
Max Crosby didn't want him to be the coach, so he didn't get to be the coach.
I don't know. Nobody wants him to be the coach. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, how many guys would have a season where they went to the playoffs in their one season and never coached again as a head coach? He's 64, I guess. But that'd be pretty rare, right?
Yes, because usually that interim guy, the guy that comes in for the fired other, you know, guy, they ride out the season and they win 5 games, and then that guy rides off into the sunset. But to have some success, I guess I'd want to give the Raiders some credit for not hiring the coach just because they made the playoffs, though. Right?
Like that. I mean, maybe that's a team that should settle for that.
That would be kind of Raidery. Like,
for once.
You know, I don't know. Like, we just sort of, your name here, you take over. Oh, well, look, we did a thing.
Can you imagine the meeting, though? Like, somebody, they're not all going to be incompetent. If there's like a group discussion about what they should do, somebody, I'd like this to be me if I were in this situation. Somebody could actually say, you know what we should actually consider, though? This guy made the playoffs. Maybe we should like really think about that because we never make the playoffs. Maybe it should be worth a little more than we're giving it credit for. They have, in the last 22 years, 2 winning seasons. That's one of them. The other was Jack Del Rio, and they were super lucky on turnovers and close games that year. Like
right.
A classic example of a team that Minnesota team a couple years ago, mm-hmm. too, that negative point differential. You get the same argument every year from people like, oh, well, they know how to win.
Then they go for 2 to win a game. One of the wins that year was one of those.
You know, the same argument every single time that knowing how to win is somehow quantifiable and important. And then they just forget. I forgot how to win. But then they lost Carr. In the playoff, maybe Matt McGloin was their quarterback for that game. But, you know, maybe we should really give a little bit more weight to that we made the playoffs with this guy. Why do we care? Let's bring in Josh McDaniels, who was kind of a punchline already.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't last. And somehow Antonio Pierce was, oh, we got to do this. This is so much better. The players are celebrating. They love it. Off the rails. Like, Adams wants to leave. Max Crosby doesn't show up for home games when he's hurt. Like, your most important guys. What is the deal there?
I don't know, but go Raiders this week. I'm going to need the flying Antonio Pierces to show up big. Let's go, Raiders. Do it up.
I mean, that's really incredible. 2 winning seasons in 22 years.
It's not a interminable drought because there are the 2 and they're interspersed in there, but man, that's really bad.
Growing up, they were like Who else? Dallas?
They were the Steelers.
Oakland.
Yeah.
They were just consistently good.
I mean, they didn't win 4 Super Bowls in 6 years or whatever Pittsburgh did, but they were right at that level the whole time.
They might have had the win. They might have been the winningest team in the 70s, even though they only won one. Mm. Like, they were always in the playoffs, always good. That's a long time ago.
And I always crushed on everybody who was a rival of the Steelers. So I had my Raiders moments. You know, those insane teams they had with the, like, all those main, Ken Stabler and like Matuzak, and they're staying out all night. Like the reputation that they sounded like a biker gang, the Raiders back in those days. And I was right there for it. Any team that was in the way of the Steelers, I was here for. So, you know, I go back to immaculate reception with that. Like, come on, right? No, this has got to be. No! To anybody that could get in the way of that. I hated the Steelers when I was a kid. Hated them.
Yankee Panky.
No.
What would the Yankee Panky be? If that were really the Yankees mascot, what would it be? Thinking of Mr. Hankey, actually, which you don't want it to be that.
Yeah, let's not go there. Hankey Panky.
Yankee Panky.
Yankee Panky, sorry. Yankee Panky. A giant baseball bat with an Uncle Sam top hat and suit on. And so, like, you know, stars and stripes on the cloak, but the Yankee uniform underneath that. And like a Yankee pinstripe top hat.
It's perfect.
It's a bat. It's a bat. Yes, that would be it. They do have, I did read this, I probably did save it somewhere, but this was The Athletic / New York Times had this piece about how the Dodgers and Yankees do not have mascots. They're the only Major League Baseball teams that do not have mascots. They did say the Yankees do have, because a part of it, like one argument against it is the kids just, sure, like, tell me about the history, Daddy. Tell me about the tradition. Tell me about all the stuff. They need that connection. And the mascot is oftentimes that connection. Like, I went to the ball game and, like, that happened. And, you know, I got a souvenir bat from the mascot. And, like, now the kid is hooked, right? Like, that's why these teams have mascots, largely, is to, you know, sort of brainwash is too strong, but whatever.
That's kind of right.
They want the kids. They want the kids to respond. So with that in mind, the Yankees do have, at certain gates, maybe it rotates, or maybe they're at all the gates, I don't know, but like there is like a costumed greeter at the turnstiles that interacts with kids, but it's not a mascot. No. Once the game starts, you don't see these people or whoever they are. Again, they're just there at the entrance to try to make the kids happy. Like, oh, here comes a 4-year-old. Hey,
here's a costumed greeter.
Here's a costumed greeter. Nothing creepy about that at all.
As long as you're only greeting, and not like standing on the dugout, banging the drum.
As long as you're not the kind of kid that got freaked out by clowns, then you're in great shape.
I love the idea of a bat as a mascot.
Yeah.
The Rockies have a donut. That's how things are going for the Rockies. Just the donut that goes on a bat?
Really?
No. I don't think so. But that's such an embarrassingly bad franchise. The good teams have bats as mascots.
All these years, you'd think I went right for it, like such a chunk.
It's
really?
Just the donuts.
Really? Mike said it? Yeah, but it's true.
Rocky the donut.
My first day here. I haven't worked here before. When do we do picks? What's a point spread?
Rocky.
Rocky the donut. The hell.
It's just really little. It's just a circle with a hole in the middle. No one can figure out how they do it. How is somebody in there? Yes, it's true. Picks coming up at 6. We will go around the league. Let's make it football this time. We'll go around the league in a dash after this timeout here on WGR. Welcome back, Football Friday. You know what? It's always like this, right? It's why great comedians just are always tweaking, honing the words, the cadence of their jokes. I just thought of the donut there to go with Bulldogs Yankee Panky Bat. I mean, if you didn't hear it, go back, Odyssey app. The rubber would have been funnier. Like a baseball mascot idea that actually is baseball themed, but you know, the rubber.
The pitching rubber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worst team in baseball's mascot is the rubber.
That's good. Right? Rosin bag could be really good, too.
Brought to you by...
What is that? It's a rosin bag.
I've been thinking about mascots this entire time.
Dumbest.
I love that the Yankees and Dodgers don't have mascots. No furry nonsense. Who cares? Come on. Around the League in a Dash, brought to you by Dash's Markets, celebrating 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Last night was interesting. The Rams looked good.
Yeah, they did.
I'm the gullible one, right? So, I don't know. They're not taking calls on Cooper Kupp. They're making calls on Cooper Kupp. What a scheme.
Right.
I guess they really weren't that close to trading him.
Yeah.
Well, then he has a touchdown.
I would assume not. I mean, that division with San Francisco being down and Seattle being on top of it right now, down. I mean, just having a tough start to the year is all I'm saying. Like, they probably feel pretty live right now. And their passing game looked... I mean, I've always been... I've crushed on Stafford for years since he was at Georgia, for God's sake. But with Nacua and Kupp back rolling and, like, man... Other guys, single coverage, like lots of dudes were making plays for them last night.
Until late Wednesday night, I never gave Puka Nacua a thought to playing here. I wasn't hearing anything about it. Then Wednesday night, there was like maybe, but you know, again, what am I going to know? Come on.
Yeah.
But then he does. And on the show yesterday, I said, you can play him if you want, but I don't think you should feel like you have to. 17 points. If he'd gotten in the end zone, that would have been a miss.
Right.
Like, then you just would feel really stupid.
And right away, they were just right to him. Right away. Like, if you didn't dress him, even though he didn't get the touchdown still, you might have really liked the 17 points to see how the rest of your weekend goes. But you can't watch, sure, it's going to be this game. Let's feature Puka Nacua game. Thanks.
Oh, I mean, that's another bingo board thing in fantasy football is like you're not really in week eight, but you're playing you're in the playoffs and the guy, it's Thursday night, right? You look at the opponent's roster and it's Puka Nacua. All right, we'll see how this works out. And it's just ding, 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 ding. What a nightmare. So the Rams are in Seattle next week, and then they host Miami before going to New England. So say what you want. They have the Bills go to L.A. in week 14, December 8th. They're going to come home first, though. They're going to the West Coast. They're not going to spend the whole month on the West Coast after traveling to Seattle tomorrow.
Just to fill it out, if you didn't follow along, the Rams are now 3-4. Seattle leading the division is just 3-4. Four and three.
Yeah.
So, like that's you know very gettable. They play next week, so big game for Seattle. Sunday.
I wonder about Arizona and San Francisco are also 3-4, right?
Right, that's right.
And Arizona beat the Rams by 31, and they've won in San Francisco. Like they are the team that if everybody's about the same, could get it because they have like division wins already. Mm-hmm. There's a long way to go. I don't really like their team. In fact,
no,
I hate them, as everybody knows.
No.
But they do have that going for them.
Yeah,
the Rams
right.
have beaten the Niners, too.
Yeah, that whole division is 3-4, except for Seattle, 4-3.
This could be a problem for the Niners, having lost to the Rams and the Cardinals already. We will take a timeout, and then it's time for picks. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.